Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Colson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. And we're glad you're hanging out with us for one more show. Got a lot more, but I don't know if this keeps going, Don.
That's a good thing.
Kind of amazing,
yeah.
How fast the weeks just fly by.
I know. We're coming to that last three quarters of 2025, but lots of good stuff nonetheless coming up for the day. We're going to talk a little bit about the opener. Lots of good things that for the deer hunt that's coming, and we're also going to talk about Mille Lacs and the winter fishing season. You're going to want to stick around for that. That and more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Good to see you, Ava.
It's good to be here. It is officially November.
Oh, no. Really?
Yes. Holiday season. Hunting season. Let's
go. It's been hunting since September. Come on. You're speaking of behind the times.
Okay, but for... Hey, no, that's not fair. Just because you started Trailer Park Boys now...
Yeah.
Being behind the times, because you are, doesn't mean that I'm behind the times. I'm waiting for... Rifle season,
hey,
shotgun season,
archery, pheasant, everything. That's all,
yeah, okay.
Opens all over early. Squirrel. I mean, come on.
They don't have antlers.
Neither do does, and people still shoot them.
Yeah, during deer
That's
season.
True.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is archery
which is
season,
start,
and you can get coming. A lot bigger deer many times that way.
You know, I don't hear many people that take does during the archery season.
I think you have.
There's a few.
Yeah, I
there
think you have a capability.
But...
If you really need to fill your freezer, you fill your freezer
yeah.
and then go for something nice.
Is that what you do?
Or the only thing I will say is with archery, you're going to want to get lined up on that trophy buck before the firearm season starts. And you have 400 million people in the woods, right? So I think that's... Really, and the other
million?
Thing is, and once people start walking around in the woods and prepping stands and everything else, and
getting
that's,
it all stinky,
yeah,
I'm just gonna put my trail cams out now.
Oh, I know you are, and then we'll get a report every week, and it'll be he was there when I wasn't there again.
You know, I will say, just today, twice I've had to avoid wildlife with my vehicle. I had one standing right in the lane in town this morning. And then this afternoon, I counted them. There were 10 turkeys standing on the curb.
Well, they're waiting to cross. It's a turkey crossing.
It was. Well, the sign was right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was waiting for the school kids on the other side of the road. I'm waiting for them to cross, and then there'd be some chasing going on.
One of the things that's come up, and it has been a point of contention, is the limits that you are the regulations that are out and in specific areas that have a heavy wildlife and deer, specifically deer population. And the insurance companies are attending these meetings that are looking at regulations, and they want regulations to be having the ability to have a second, third, or fourth tag in areas where they're having vehicle collisions with deer.
Yeah.
because it's getting to a big, it's becoming a really big issue.
It's body shop season.
Oh, I had it and it wasn't even body shop season, Don. I came back from Lake Michigan and driving, I forget what town it was through, and deer runs out of the ditch. It wasn't in front of me. It ran into me.
Oh, ran inside of your vehicle?
Ran and hit the front quarter, yeah. right in front of the wheel.
Yep.
Trashed the bumper, trashed the quarter, inner quarter panel, outer quarter panel. It creased the driver door, nicked the back panel, it dented the bed of the truck, and then trashed the bumper on the way out, and it was $16,000.
Oh, yeah.
16.
Oh, well, that's why the insurance company was at the meeting.
That's, you know, so you look at those kinds of things, and it's,
yeah,
it's
there's
tragic.
There's a lot of states that, you know, I know neighboring state here in Wisconsin, I have friends that their goal is to take five deer, but they honestly consume. I mean, they process all their meat and probably help out a few other folks as well.
Oh, yeah. No, and it can go to good causes, you know, the
veterans organizations and,
you know, Habitat for Humanity. You know, they used to do the deer.
The hides.
Hides, yep. And that kind of thing. But nonetheless, those kinds of things, you don't realize it. I know way back when I used to work in Woodbury, and Woodbury was expanding back in Burger Brothers, if you remember way back in that time frame, in Sporting Goods Place. I used to hunt out back of the store in the mornings and at night when I got done with work. And I'd watch people, big open field right there, and watch people going into a movie theater. I'm lining up on a doe to shoot a doe right there. But the counter to that is the number of traffic collisions from that wooded area I was in going across and not far from that shopping center was astronomical.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I mean, they're better off if they're taking in hunting season than end up getting hit by a vehicle.
Well,
I mean, I'm sure the numbers are put out there for how many
collisions.
Vehicles.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So we could check into that for.
It was just, I wanted to sit and get a handle on.
Okay.
It wasn't where I normally would hunt. I just went out to another area. But
did any come by and visit?
No visits. Off in the distance there was, but I wasn't going to get any excitement about that. I just want to make sure everything was good and put some darts down range, as they say, with the bow, and pretty impressed. Haven't shot for a while, and I was able to get some probably 2-inch groups at about
30 yards.
It was 30, but it was off 1 inch low and left. But I figure there's a lot of things that could play in it because I shot like 22 arrows. And when you get to that 22nd one, when you've got some poundage, it gets a little.
You start quivering a little bit, do you?
I didn't get it a lot, but hey, you remember way back when I couldn't even pull the bow back?
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a heavy-duty deal because of that shoulder muscle? No problem. 60-some pound now, I can pull it back. And not that I need it, but yeah, pretty cool. Well, tell you what, pretty cool is what we are going to be when we come back. Hang tight with us in your car, in your armchair, lounger chair, barca lounger, whatever you're sitting in, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. And, of course, we always like to have you guys check us out. Where, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook, like us, please. Lots of good stuff on all over the place on there, so check it out. And I think you'd be pretty happy with what you find. Speaking of happy, deer hunters are going to be flocking to the woods and the fields and everywhere coming up on the 8th of November. It's coming right around the corner, Don. If I'm not mistaken, it's not far from today.
It's about a week from today.
Yeah, about 1 week from today. Did a little research on it. We talked about the conditions are such that they line up quite well one of the reasons, and I was really trying to dive into this, Don, how they talk about populations of deer. And this is one of those scenarios that I've always said, yeah, the DNR, they get it. They know things and scientists. But on the other hand, I will say there's a lot they don't know. And here's what is surprising for me. When you talk about a harvest, you talk about a winter and what it could do for deer, the growing of deer, and this is by some special coordinators of the DNR that keep an eye on what a mild winter and winter and effect on their deer herd can do, right? So they do analysis of this.
Sure.
They said that this particular part, I'm not going to mention any names, the DNR were skeptical that a mild winter followed by a wet growing season that produced an abundance of food would so quickly translate to bucks sporting larger than normal racks. So the reason they say this, the winter of 23-24 had does coming through that season healthy, raised a great crop of fawns. They thought it would bode well, but a huge jump in harvest was not expected immediately. Okay? So it seemed to have a huge impact. And what they did was they're looking at the taxidermist. What they saw, a 20-inch increase in bucks that came in.
Average?
Average. 20-inch increase.
Wow.
They heard a couple taxidermists said they filled up their quota of number of deer they were taking in earlier than normal, and it seemed a pretty good year for antler growth as well. Total harvest across all seasons was also up. This is last year.
Yep.
170,600 versus 158,600. So that's a lot of deer growth when you're not looking necessarily at a growth in hunters. So the success, I think, is like an exponential at that particular point. So the reason they say that is they have an identical winter that they had the previous year. So this year, 24-25,
yep.
Identical year at the head the last year. So what does that mean? That means it's going to be a pretty solid scenario. And 25 permit areas have an increase this year in the limit. The late spring and summer, they had wet conditions across the state. They had quality deer food across the state. In addition to the standard row crops and what's been widely reported is a better mast crop. And what they're looking at is benefits with twin fawns, if not triplets sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I saw one this year.
Is that not crazy?
Yeah, with triplets.
Important to note that two mild winters is great, but it kind of depends on the starting density of the deer population. Obviously, if you hardly have any, it's difficult to get that growth. But when you're at that point when they can really take off, that is something to deal with. So pretty impressive. I will say that Mother Nature has treated us well, given us a break. And I think ideal conditions are coming up for the opener. And I think the stars are going to align for people to have a good outing.
I mean, I think it's going to be overall a really good deer season.
It's looking to be. Temperatures should be decent. It's not going to be that, from what I can see in the extended forecast. I'll pull up instant AccuWeather, which is just me pulling up my weather app. if you look at the...
You're the weatherman on this show as well.
Well, that's what I do.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to be in the 40s and 50s overnight next Saturday. It looks to be like 32 degrees. Overnight on Friday, 41. So I think you're going to have a good weekend. Looks to be dry.
Yep.
So I think it's going to be a good, and that's again in the Red Wing area. There's a lot of other areas that'll have some varied weather, but nonetheless, I think.
That's actually good because hot weather is not good.
No.
For taking game.
Well, a lot of reasons. One is you walk into the stand, you got to be soaking wet, you're going to work up a sweat.
Right.
And then pulling a deer out, Don, I don't know if you know it.
Just dressing, field dressing a deer. When yeah. it's hot, it's not good.
Well, try and take care of the meat at the same right. time. Right. There's a lot of things that come into play that make it difficult. So get prepped, everybody. Make sure you have all your tools. And please make sure you check your stand strap. So when you strap into the stand, you know that that is going to be 100%. Don't trust that it was good last year, and it's going to be good this year. Put it on. Make sure that its buckles are good, because buckles can and will on time for or in a period of time, they will fatigue and they can break.
Even worse than that, as an example, I brought in my trail cams and I make sure they're all charged up. And I had two of them that I leave out there year round so I can see activity. And it breaks like a rubber band.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're talking a canvas strap, but just from being in the sun and the weather for that period of time. So I've got all new straps going out this year.
Yeah. But when it comes to your health and being safe, you got to do that. The other thing I would recommend is make sure to jump into something I wasn't planning on talking about. As far as what you have in your backpack, so when you're hunting, you're prepared. One is going to be have a mini saw. Having a mini saw is one of those things where all of a sudden you're seeing deer coming from the wrong direction, and there's a stick there that you can't get rid of no matter what you do. Having a mini saw, you can get that out of the way, or maybe there's some brush, you see it, it's like, oh, that wasn't there before. Have that prepped, number one.
I take a Shears.
Yep. There you go. You could take a pruner, like a pruner type scenario. I do the saw simply because if it's a little bigger and it's in the way or it's fallen or broken off, but either one, those kind of work. What else do you have? What else do you bring, Don?
Well, I bring everything I need for field dressing. So I make sure I've got shoulder length.
Rubber gloves. Yep.
Of course, a good knife.
Well, and why are the gloves important?
Well, one, it keeps you clean and the animal.
Yeah.
Otherwise you make a mess of yourself.
Yeah.
And you don't need to. You know, I do have, I don't even know what they call it, the rack that you can pull up, you know, so if you're anywhere near a tree or something, you can pull it up in a tree. As where I hunt, I'm able to take the carcass up to the farmyard and we rinse it out with cold water so we can hang it.
Nice.
So, that's to keep the meat clean.
Mm-hmm.
Some people use an axe rather than a bone saw. I'd rather have a bone saw, but I haven't found one that I like yet.
I've got a bone saw it's in a handle, and it comes out. It's about 5-6 inches. Or 6 inches long, and it locks, and there's my bone saw.
Yep.
And it works well.
Well, that's what I need. I need to find one like that. I just haven't yet.
No, that works well. Ava, what do you throw in your deer pack?
So my dad is the best ever. He has little deer kits.
That? He's the best ever.
He is the best ever. He has little deer cleaning kits that he puts in everybody's backpacks. And it's got the gloves and the wet wipes and the butt out that he likes to use. Have you heard of the butt out?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like wonderful. You give it a little twist up there and pull the innards out.
It reverses things.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that.
And then he also has a little bathroom kit in case you need to use the restroom out in the woods. He's got you covered.
You need to make sure you have quality toilet paper, not just toilet paper. Quality toilet paper is an important thing.
Yeah, because you don't want to be using leaves.
No, and that cheap junk doesn't work either. So make sure you get the good stuff. Don't get scented, though.
Never thought we'd be talking about that.
Hey, it's a big part of hunting is figuring out the bathroom.
I've never really had to do much with it, but there's stories. There's stories.
My truck's only 100 yards away.
Oh, Don.
What does that do?
Huh? Drives me wherever I want to go.
Oh, you need to drive. Well... See, I'm hunting on my parents' property. I could walk in if I wanted to, but meh.
Oh, well. It's good to know. I'm guessing.
Ava does not walk in. All right.
So, Don, what else do you have in there?
Oh, man, it's putting me on the spot here. Well, yeah.
You can just think about what you had in your bag.
I mean, I always have my gear, but you know,
like what?
Binoculars, rangefinder.
There you go.
You know, your firearm, your extra shells.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I like to have deer scent. I have scent pads. I'll have like a scent free spray. Those kinds of things. I'll have the deer, the drag straps. I'll have that. I will have an extra shell, like a rain shell of some type, so that if it does start to rain and it's nasty, then I can just throw that on and not get and big enough to cover everything.
My stand's got a roof on it. But I suppose I could take one.
Ava, I don't think Don really hunts. He just kind of goes out and sits in. My guess is he probably brings his lounger into the...
And takes a nap.
Well, he wheels it in early in the year and puts it into this thing, and then he leaves it set there. Probably got a massager with a 12-volt battery in the back so you don't have a bad back. And maybe a little warming. So
you know, that's not a bad idea.
Oh, jeez. Ava?
Love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I have to admit, there are some deer stands out there that are amazing.
See, talking about the deer stands that lean against a tree, and you crawl up them on a little ladder and sit in them.
That's what I...
At my size, I don't take that chance.
I don't like heights, so...
I don't mind heights. I just am not going to... where I hunt, there's like five of them. And it's like, take your pick. Where do you want to go? Nope, I take the roofed one. I can get in and out of it, and it's pretty solid.
Well, I'm trying to think what else is there. There's some other things that... Obviously, the app for your phone, if you do have an accident, that's a crazy cool thing. If you haven't seen it, go look up under deer hunting apps and what it will do. Apple, I believe, has something like it. But if you do have a fall out of a stand or it shows a rapid drop and then a stop, your phone will automatically call for... emergency services, and they'll ask, are you okay, kind of thing. And
right.
I think that's always a good thing, especially if you're in a crew. You know, you've got some older people, if they're going to be, you know, doing a stand scenario, have that, make sure that that's on their apps. Just
actually,
in case.
The Apple Watch does that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't have, I don't have an Apple Watch, so. But.
Look what I got.
Look at you. Apple Watch.
Apple Watch.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I think all those things are crucial. And the other thing, too, is be wary of what transportation regs are in place with deer. There's some states that you can't cross into the state with a full deer with hide and everything else. Just make sure you're aware wherever you're going deer hunting. Just make sure you do that so you can make sure that it starts out good. Your hunt starts out good and it ends as the same as it started. So that's important. Last but not least, the story we had last week, just make sure you know what you're shooting. Don't take a chance and make sure you've got blaze hat and a blaze vest. Don't think because you're on private property that somebody's going to be just fine. People have a tendency to go hunt where they shouldn't sometimes or mistakenly not end up in the right spot. So make sure you check that out. So an important piece of being safe on the opener of deer season. I heard there's in Wisconsin, isn't it like 650,000 people go into the woods?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, doing business with people in Wisconsin for the Wisconsin opener, which is, I think, a week later than Minnesota. I'll check on that for you. But
I think Michigan is the same.
Every business shuts down that I can possibly, I mean, it's crazy.
Not every business.
Well, a lot of businesses are,
a lot of them about 5 o'clock open up.
Yeah, that, but when you're trying to do normal other business, I mean, it's like, it's deer opener. Everybody knows, we're gone for the week, so.
Yeah, it's a state holiday.
Yeah, state holiday. It's like Minnesota fishing opener, same kind of thing. Well, there you go. There's your update on deer. And I think it's going
to
be good, as well as what to put in your pack. I get a pretty big backpack.
I have a big backpack, too.
Yeah, it works. And what I've done is I've actually hooked the pull strap to the backpack. And then
and
I
then pull
have,
it up?
And then, no.
Oh.
So when I'm dragging a deer out,
mm-hmm.
I've got the shoulder straps, instead of just a waist strap. So I've got the shoulder straps, the hip strap, everything is pulling at the same time.
Oh, I thought you were making like a pulley system to get your backpack.
I always have a rope up there anyway, so it's not a big deal. So, but anyway, real quick, I wanted to jump into a story. The $200 federal tax on firearm suppressors goes away on January 1st. They just passed a legislation, and it brought a major shift to firearm suppressors. So starting January 1st, 2026, the federal tax stamp is going to be eliminated. Owners will still have to complete the ATF Form 4 and pass a background check. That doesn't go away, but the tax payment that was required since the 30s is now out the door. The law change not only applies to suppressors, but also the purchase of short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, and even other weaponry. Look at the regulations, and they call it any other weapon. It's a massive win for National Arms Firearms Act community, as long as the long overdue step towards normalizing legally owned tools. So, you like that, Don?
Well, I do. I mean, because it's it's very expensive.
It is. It can be cost prohibitive.
Well, so. I mean, if you're buying more than one suppressor, I mean, $200 a suppressor, it adds up.
Yeah, it does. Speaking of adding up, the minutes added up, and we are a wrap. Hard to believe, Don, but we are at the end of the show. Thank you guys for joining us, for Ava, Don, and myself. We are the Valley Outdoors. Have a great, safe weekend, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.